I came across this quote that said this, and for those of you who are parents, this resonates in your heart. It said, I used to think that being a kid on Christmas was the best thing ever. Turns out, having kids on Christmas is. It's not the receiving of gifts, but the actual giving of gifts and being able to be a joy to someone that you love. I want you to think about the mom in the video. Do you think that after seeing her son open that gift, the first gift, the cutting board, and seeing how thankful he was, gave her a kiss, do you think that in her mind she was thinking, oh my goodness, like maybe we shouldn't give him the second gift. We could return it. You know, he's happy with that. That'll be just fine. Do you think that's how she was? Probably not. Because it's not just a matter of, you know, cost-benefit analysis, you know. To be able to be a blessing, I mean, that joy that the mother had, it goes beyond words can express. As beautiful and as joyful as Christmas is for us, it doesn't come close to the joy that it is for God. Because Christmas isn't just the celebration of love shared by families and friends around the world, as meaningful and as important as that is. Christmas is, brothers and sisters, Christmas is the celebration of the greatest gift that was ever given in the history of the world. God's love for the world through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift in the world. In John 3:16, a verse that's known to all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When you love someone or when you love something, when something catches your affection and your obsession, the extent of your passion and your love and your commitment to that object is always measured by the sacrifices that you are willing to make for it. You say you love something, but we say we love a lot of different things. The measure of how deeply we love something will always be measured by the extent to which we are willing to sacrifice money, time, maybe even our health for the sake of it. When you give something that's worth, you know, something that to another person may be unreasonable, that just shows the level of your love. You know, I was reading an article about a neighborhood in New York, in Brooklyn. It's called Diker Heights. It's a neighborhood that is known for its over-the-top Christmas decorations. So apparently the whole block just glows. It's like a city on a hill. And it's so well known. And the people who live there are so competitive about having their you know, front lawn and their house all decked out. It's pretty remarkable. I saw a video of it. It is really over the top. And it gets so much attraction that they have to actually get police to direct traffic because there's tour buses that come in because people just want to walk down the street and take a look at this wonderful display of all these lights. In the article, it said that there are light companies that actually charge anywhere from $500 to $10,000 to come to your house to set up Christmas lights. There are some companies and some people who have spent upwards to $50,000 out in California and I think somewhere maybe in Nevada or something. No, not the Strip, you know, but people who have really like invested to have their houses lit up with all these Christmas decorations. I mean, when your neighbor says that they love to put up Christmas trees or Christmas lights, and then you see people in Diker Heights, or you see people who are willing to shell out $40,000, $50,000, the level of love, it's just not the same. We're talking about a different level. You might not even call it love. You might call it like craziness or something. But that shows the level of your commitment. And that's how it is in every facet of life. Your love for something or someone is always measured by the sacrifices that you're willing to make for it, the cost that you are willing to pay. And what John tells us is that God really, guys, he really loves the world. Not like really loves the world, like I really love apple pie. But he really loves the world. And you know how we know this? Because he gave his only son. His one and only begotten son. As a gift. The most precious, the most cherished thing to God was his son. And he gave him because of his love for the world. What is your most precious possession? Is it an object? Is it a present? Is it a person? Is it a relationship? Is it something about you? Is it a talent? This is the thing that you cherish most about yourself. The quality about you that, you know what, like, this is so important to me. No one is going to diminish this. No one is going to undermine this. I'm going to have people celebrate this because this is so important. Whatever it is that you have that you think you value, it doesn't come close to the love, commitment, and the passion that God has for his son. There is nothing in the world, there is nothing in the universe that compares to the relationship that God the Father has with God the Son. You can't even put words to it. There are no concepts. There's no idea in reality that can compare to do justice to the nature of this incredible, remarkable, beyond comprehension relationship between God the Father and God the Son. The love, the passion, the delight, the obedience, the intimacy, the fellowship is eternal. It's a song that harmonizes forever. And what John tells us is that God readily gave up his son. He severed that relationship for us. Not just because he wanted to, because it was the only way to save us. Because he loved us, he gave his only begotten son. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The gift of Jesus Christ to us is a gift of taking our punishment. It's the gift of righteousness. It's the gift where God has given us something that we didn't deserve. And where Jesus has come to absorb what we all deserved. He took away our shame. He took away our guilt. He took away our mistakes. He took away all the things, all the junk, all the messiness, all the drama that follows us, all of that, he took it, he absorbed it, because he came not to just radiate the glory of who God is, though he did that quite well, but because after 33 years of living in this world, after walking planet Earth, he went to the cross and he died. And God sent his son knowing that he would die. In fact, he sent his son so that he would die. And he did that so that you and I wouldn't have to die. So that we would be saved. And you know what that is? That's a surprise. It's a totally unexpected gift. And it's a totally undeserved gift. And what that means, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus Christ is the best gift that we could possibly ever get. Let me repeat that. Jesus Christ is the best gift that we could possibly get. He is better than a house. He is better than a toy. He is better than a job offer. He is better than marriage, a relationship. He is better than even, yes, even grandkids. He is better than all of that. Because you could receive all of that, and if you don't have Jesus, it means nothing for all of eternity. But because he has given you this, you're good. Jesus, he's not a cutting board. Don't worry about it. If you guys want to give a gift to the church, maybe you can give one of these screens. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, guys. No, there's a problem with this. We know that, you know, Christmas is a celebration of the gift, the greatest gift that's given to us. But let's be honest. Most of the time, we're not very excited about this gift. Right? I mean, there are times, we're so happy that God did this. We're so blessed because we have eternal life. We can believe in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. That's what the Bible tells us. We believe in him and everything's good. We're thankful. We're appreciative. But the reality is, for a lot of us, Jesus, you know what Jesus feels like? He feels like a cutting board. Something practical. You know, something useful. Something that, you know, yeah, it's good. It's good for the family. But it's not something that I really asked for. It's not something that I really dream about. It's not something that really moves the needle. You know what I'm saying? Because what I really want is I want this. And if God could really answer my prayer for that, then I would get really excited. But Jesus, oh yeah, oh thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. You know, when I was in like fifth grade, it was the first Christmas that my parents, my mom really, my dad never really gave us gifts, but my mom, on behalf of my father, you know, up to that point, you know, just like all kids, they would have a bunch of toys and a bunch of boxes and a bunch of gifts for each of us. I had an older sister, I have an older sister, younger brother, and so Christmas was like that, excited. But when I was in fifth grade, it was the first time my mom said, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore. You guys are all grown up, and so we're going to get you like practical gifts. So I opened up my gift. It was a box. I opened up my gift, and you know what I saw? I saw a cutting board. No, she didn't give me a cutting board, but it felt like a cutting board. It was a pair of boots. And I'm like, oh, great, Mom. What's in the boots? I looked in the boots. Is there something else? That's it. It's a pair of boots. And I was like, thanks, my feet are going to be so warm now. You know, it's great. And you know, that's what Jesus feels like. Oh, yeah, thanks. Put a smile on her face. Force a smile. Thanks, God. Thanks. Because our heart really yearns for this. Or for that, you know, let's be honest. Some of us really doubt whether God really does love us. But God, if you really love me, then why haven't you listened to my prayer for XYZ? Why am I still waiting for this? Because God, I know that if you really loved me, this would be under the tree. Let's be honest. A lot of times, Jesus does feel like that, doesn't he? How many times have you ever been tempted to think, God, I appreciate the gospel. Man, I wish you would do this. We knew God gave his son. but we're still not very happy. We're not very excited. Deep in our hearts, we think that if God really loved me, then this would happen. I know that it seems that there are so many better gifts that you can receive than Jesus, so many things that you would rather have or want. My encouragement to you is don't focus on that. To focus on Jesus, to receive him if you haven't already done so. So my encouragement to you is to accept him, to believe in him. Because a failure to accept God's gift is an incredibly insulting and offensive act. Let me repeat that. A failure to accept God's incredible gift of Jesus Christ is not just missing out. It's insulting, offensive. Think about it. I want you to think about it. There's nothing more hurtful than giving something to someone you love or sacrificing a great sacrifice and they're not appreciative of it. I mean, as great as it is to be able to bless someone with a surprise and to see their faces light up with joy and them coming running to hug you and give you a kiss, I mean, as joyful and as powerful as that is, it is equally as hurtful, almost like a knife to the heart, when you pour out your life, when you pour out and sacrifice incredible things to bless someone, and they're just like, meh, really, yeah. Or maybe they choose something else, you know what I'm saying? They choose someone, not something else, but maybe someone else. Someone else's gift. Someone else's heart. There's nothing more hurtful than that. I mean, think about the video. I want you to imagine the mother in the video who worked overtime, maybe two or three extra jobs to save up for this gift that was way beyond their means. She couldn't afford it, but she wanted to do it because she loved her son, which was so evident in that video. But what if the boy, instead of crying and being thankful, that he got upset that it wasn't a bigger screen or that it wasn't what somebody else got? I mean, do you think that, how would you, first of all, that wouldn't have gone, maybe that would have gone viral, but for all the wrong reasons, right? It wouldn't have been inspiring. It wouldn't have been watched over, and it probably wouldn't have been posted. Because something like that doesn't inspire, it incites. It gets you angry. And maybe you've been in that situation where you've done something for someone and they're not appreciative of it. They don't know the sacrifices. They take it for granted. They take you for granted. And for you, maybe you don't get angry. Maybe you don't get upset. But don't tell me that it doesn't hurt. Don't tell me that it doesn't, at least on some level, really sting. And that's why John tells us this. Guys, for God so loved the world. You know how? You know how much he gave his only begotten son? That whoever receives him, whoever believes in him, you're not going to perish. You're going to have eternal life. But if you don't, it's a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face to not just a person walking down the street, to the God, to the eternal God of the universe. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name, the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Make no mistakes, brothers and sisters. To reject Christ is the biggest and greatest mistake you can ever make in your life. Nothing comes close. It is to bring God's eternal judgment upon us. If you do not accept Christ, there is nothing that you can do to make yourself presentable to God. There is nothing you could do to make yourself lovable or acceptable. It can only happen to you by God. But if you do accept it, if you do receive it, if you do believe it, then folks, there is nothing you could ever do to ever make God not love you. Nothing. He will cover you. He will not only forgive you, He will make you beautiful. He will love you for all of eternity. And that's why this is the greatest gift that you could ever imagine. It is better than all the bells and whistles that this world has to offer. It is better. It is Jesus Christ. So if you have accepted Him, church, cherish Him. Love Him. Appreciate Him. Don't just get it. Hide it away. Look forward to all the other gifts. Cherish it. Cherish Him. Two things I want you to remember. Number one, remember that you were accepted because of Jesus, because He was rejected. Let me repeat that. You were accepted when you believed in Jesus because He was rejected. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, this is what John says as he begins the gospel. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came into His own, and His own people did not receive Him. When Jesus came, it wasn't like He was shocked. It's not like He was like, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Like, I didn't see the fine print on the contract when I signed this. Like, He didn't come in thinking that somehow He would be beloved, because that was what He was used to for all of eternity. Like, everyone loved Him, especially His Father. But now He came into the world, and they didn't think anything of Him. My goodness, He was born in a barn, in a feeding trough. Oh, that's crazy when you think about it. There was no place for Him. And that was His life. That perfectly, symbolically represented and typified His life experience. Yes, there is a sense in which people loved Him and they embraced Him and they wanted Jesus to come into their town, to come into their home. But remember, the only reason that they wanted that was because Jesus had something to offer them. He could feed them. He could heal them. He could pray for them. He could do all these miraculous things. And so that's why they wanted Him. He was like Santa Claus. He's like, oh, I wish Santa Claus would come and fill my stockings and fill under the tree, because He could do all those things. But the moment He didn't give them what they wanted, they rejected Him. See, they didn't really want Him. They just wanted His gifts. And Jesus didn't bat an eye. Because that's what He came to do. He came to be rejected. He came to be abandoned. He came to be neglected. Not by the people, not by the crowds, not even by His own family. He came to be rejected and neglected by His heavenly Father. Because He was, you are accepted. You are loved. Don't ever neglect this gift. You don't know what you have in Jesus. You don't really know who He is. You don't know what He went through for you. You may think You have an idea, but you don't. When you and I get to heaven, for the first time, we will understand the extent of his incredible love and sacrifice for us. So while we can, brothers and sisters, will you cherish him? Will you love him? Put the gift down and run to your Father. Thank him for all that he has done for you. Remember that you are accepted because he was rejected. Finally, remember that because of the gift of his Son, you get to become a son. Because of the gift of his Son, you get to become a son. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. My friends, you're not just accepted. You're not just a beneficiary. You're not just on the payroll of heaven. You become a son of God. You are a son. And what that means, folks, is that God doesn't see you as a possession or a pet or even an employee or servant. He sees you as a son. And the thing about children is that what makes us happy as parents is not when they're serving us. I mean, that makes us happy too. My kids take out the garbage so I don't have to weather the cold. That makes me happy. But I'll tell you what really makes me happy. And only you parents can really resonate with this. What really makes me happy is when I see them happy. And there's nothing like that. I'll do almost anything to see them happy. Because that's love. And that, folks, is how God loves you now. He's happy not just when you serve him. He's happy when you are happy. Because that's his love. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, if God loves you so much that he would give his son for you, what will he not give you for your joy? What would he withhold? For what purpose would he fail to give you what is good? That doesn't make any sense. There is nothing that he has that's more important or more valued than his son. And he already gave his son. Now, what will he not give you? What will he not bless you with? If we don't get what we want, then there's either something wrong with what we want, or it's just not time. But either way, whatever it is, God loves you so much that if it's good for you, and if it's for your good, you can rest assured that it's coming. He's going to bless you with it. So, folks, will you cherish him? There's nothing better than Jesus. Nothing. And God has given to you. So cherish him. Amen? Amen. He is not a cutting board. He is not even a tablet. He's Emmanuel. God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the Father, being our Father, not just being our God, not just being our overlord, but being our God and Father. And our hope is that though we may not feel it, though we may not sometimes appreciate it, that you will transform us to be able to one day see the fullness of this incredible gift. Lord, help us. Help us, because I think a lot of us are in that place where it's hard. And I don't mean for us that we be weighed down with guilt or to feel shameful for the fact that our hearts are fixated on other things, because we all go through times when we feel like that. So, Lord, if we are under that impression or feel under that kind of pressure, I pray that you would release us and help us to see that, Lord, in you is only love. And, Father, we pray that you would give us hope. We thank you. You have given us Jesus. Now take our lives, take our worship as a gift back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.